Today to be preaching on a topic that was suggested to me. I think all of you know I've been asking for anyone who has a request for a topic to let me know about it. And I'm very blessed that someone did approach me and asked for a sermon on disappointment. I have to admit to you, today when I was standing up, I haven't been the worship leader for a while, and I started to recite to pray the prayer that we pray every week. And just because I was standing up here, I couldn't say the words. And I was thinking, boy, everybody's going to be disappointed with me. The pastor doesn't know the words to the prayer, you know. But it happens like that. Things sneak up on you, right? You can't, suddenly you're thinking, okay, I know this and I see the words, but it doesn't come out, right? But isn't that the way it is in life, right? I mean, we could know everything a million times over and you get up and to say it in front of somebody or, you know, I think of times when we go when we were younger to perform. And you practice and you practice and you practice, and then you get up in front of people and your parents are there, and suddenly it's like, how does this go? You know, and you're thinking to yourself, oh boy, how am I going to do this? But that's kind of the point, you know, of the whole sermon and the whole thing that we're going to be talking about today is that nobody's perfect. And everybody makes mistakes and things happen in life that disappoint us. You know, let me tell you a story about this 5-year-old boy from Texas. He was told that the family would visit the Grand Canyon. They described it as much bigger than downtown Dallas. It was so exciting. They described, you know, the greatness of this place, the Grand Canyon. He could hardly wait to get there and see it. And when the family finally got there, they asked him, how did it measure up to your expectations? How do you like it? And the little boy frowned and he said, I thought you said that it was going to be a big cannon. And he was probably hoping to see them shoot a big cannon. You see, when you're hoping for the Grand Canyon, you can be let down even by something as spectacular as the Grand Canyon. Amen. Right? I like this story because it brings into mind that we don't always know what a person is thinking. Right? Am I right? We decide in our minds what a person is thinking, what they're doing. We know them. We understand why they did it. But it could be something completely different and innocent, like a boy thinking when he heard canyon, it was cannon. But the parents never thought that, right? They never could have thought something like that. But people have different ideas in their heads sometimes, and they're, we're all alike in that way. This topic is a really important one, I found, as I've been looking at this. I'm so thankful for it. We may need more than one sermon. But I'd just like to look at some aspects of disappointment today. There's a couple of aspects to it. First of all, disappointment can be in people. We're disappointed in people. They hurt us. We think a person or people are one way, and then they go and they do something that causes us to see them in a less favorable way. There's a recent story in the news that's really gotten the attention of people about a corrections officer who ran off with a convict, a guy who was serving time in prison. Have you heard about that story? The corrections officer, this woman is well-respected, working in the prison for many, many years, and was actually on her day of retirement that this happened. She arranged for a convict who was serving time for murder to escape. She told the guard who was supposed to accompany her with the prisoner to another location that day she would drive him there herself. And because she was his boss, he allowed it to happen and he didn't object. So she took advantage of him. She never reached the destination they were supposed to reach. And they both are on the run right now. They're fugitives. They're being sought. And a person who knew her well for years and years and years and had respected her for many years said these words, "I'm really disappointed in her." She didn't live up to his expectations. She was a well-respected person. And those are the words that he chose to describe his feelings. "I'm really disappointed in her." So we get disappointed in someone for letting us down. Sometimes they lie to us, and you can't believe that they would do that to you. What they say, what they do, it has a big effect on us in life. We can also be disappointed in circumstances, just like that little boy, right? He goes to the Grand Canyon, and everybody wants to go to the Grand Canyon, right? And then he's like, "Oh, I thought it was going to be a cannon," right? There's some other areas that we can see disappointment in circumstances. You're up for a promotion, and it's got to be you. You've been serving in this company for a long time, and then lo and behold, you lose it out to somebody else, and you think, that position is mine. I deserve that. We get disappointed. We're in a competition in a sport, or we're participating in an arts program of some kind or something like that, and we lose to someone else. We're thinking, I really want to win. I really want to win that prize. But we lose out to someone else, and our hearts are filled with disappointment. The pandemic, I don't need to tell you about the disappointments that we've endured through the pandemic. Kids were saying that they were disappointed that they missed out on a prom that they had set their hearts on all these years. They felt that they missed a chance to compete in a sports event that wasn't going to be held, or a music program that they were looking forward to playing in, and they missed out on. Some kids, including our son, missed out on walking in graduation, right? They didn't get to walk. They didn't get to go and pick up their diploma in front of everyone because of the pandemic and COVID conditions. Some wanted to get married and have a banquet with a big crowd and invite all their friends, and they weren't able to do that. What a disappointment that is, right? I could go on and on. I know that many of you have experienced disappointments through this time or in your lives that have really, affected you in your life. And so disappointment is a part of our lives, is it not? It's something that is inevitable. It's something that we're going to meet in life. Another way that we're disappointed is we're disappointed in God, right? Many people are disappointed in God. You pray and pray and pray, and you don't get the answer. You don't get the answer. We just heard about this, right? God answers prayer, right? But what is God thinking, right? We think about the little boy. He's thinking something else. He has something else in mind. Doesn't God have something in mind for us that perhaps we don't understand and see, right? So either that, or you don't get the answer you were expecting. "I wanted it this way. Didn't you hear me? You know, God, I told you I wanted this position. I told you, you said you're going to answer me and give me what I want. And somebody else got what I deserve. You know, what's this about, God?" You feel that life is just not fair and you blame God for it. You look around and you see all the things going on. Might lose someone in your life. You might have something terribly disappointing happen. You could look at the war and all these different things, and you feel like, what is going on with you? God has disappointed us with what's going on around us. We see it also today with the men who were walking, or the people actually that were walking to Emmaus, right? Let's look at the scripture there. The very day, the two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened, about Jesus and how he had died, how he had been crucified and buried. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. They were filled with disappointment. They were filled with these things in their minds and their discouragement, all these kind of things that were going on. And he said to them, "What's this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad, disappointed. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" He was like, "Are you living under a rock?" Right? And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him, man. Come on." And then listen to this verse. "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things happened." This verse describes disappointment. And the ironic thing is they're talking to Jesus. Don't we have that kind of reaction with God in our lives? Right? We're like, "Don't you know what's going on down here?" Yeah, he does. He's right here. He knows everything, but he knows more than we do. And his will is greater than our will. And his ways are greater than our ways. Right? And he was right there with them. But they were so filled and they were so inclined toward disappointment and sadness that they didn't even see that Jesus was right there with them. Did you ever have a feeling like you were alone? Remember this, that Jesus is always with you. He is always there. Right? Jesus is dependable. And he's closer than we think. His presence is a reassurance to us of the hope that we have in every situation we meet in life. Right? Every disappointment that we have in life. And his teaching and example here give us wisdom to apply to the disappointments we face in life. So we're not just left with disappointment. We're given wisdom and teaching on how to live with it and how to approach it. And that's what we want to explore today in this time together. Brother Alfred, would you show that diagram, please? Or Brother Alan? I found a diagram that I thought was really helpful to be able to see what happens many times through disappointment. Someone devised this and they said that the tip of it is disappointment. And if disappointment is not addressed in a godly manner, it becomes discouragement, right? And then it can go into disillusionment, which is really a word that describes being disappointed, right? Your view of someone is skewed because of what they've done to you, or your view of God has become skewed. You're discouraged. And then you go into disillusionment. Your perspective is changing. And then it can, if it's not taken care of there, then it can also really go into depression, where you are withdrawing. You're withdrawing from God, and you're withdrawing from life. You're withdrawing from situations. You're putting it. You're saying, "I'm not going to think about it, and I don't want to see that person. I don't want to think about those things anymore. I'm just going to depress it." And it results in a sad face, like these two men were having on the road to Emmaus. They were sad and they were standing there talking to the risen Christ. Right? And that's what can happen when you're in that kind of a state. You can feel like, "I don't even see things anymore." I don't know if you've ever met someone who is really deeply depressed, but it can really get to that point where they just don't even see you. Right? And then finally, defeat. And that is what can happen to a person with disappointment. This is the worst case scenario, and this is what we don't want, right? It starts as an attack of disappointment, but progresses when it's not caught right away to discouragement. And then if it's not checked, it becomes disillusionment, and then even depression and defeat in the end. Right? It can go into that kind of a way. Thanks for showing that. We're going to come back to see another one in the end. I really like the Harvard Business Review. I've read some of their things time to time, and I've even shared them with you before, but there is a lot of wisdom in this journal, and I turned to it for this, their insight on this kind of a thing, and I wasn't disappointed. I found some good words here. First of all, there's so much in this article, I had to narrow it down to 3 points. First of all, major disappointments are often defining moments in people's lives. They are defining moments in people's lives. It's a defining moment either in a good way or it could be in a bad way. Amen? Right? You're being disappointed. Now what's going to happen? Okay. Second, unpleasant as disappointments may be, we can always learn something from them. I like that. It's a learning moment. And so in that moment, when we have a disappointment facing us, we can think that way. Okay, so what is going on here? How am I going to react? And what am I going to learn from it? And then third, disappointment is not meant to destroy us. If taken in stride, it can strengthen us and make us better. Now, these words, I don't know who the person is that wrote these words, but they sound very, very much like something that I believe in as a Christian. And I think that it's good that we can also learn from people that are not necessarily Christians, but we want to apply these things in a Christian way in our lives. Okay? When we look at the Bible, we realize that man is not the only one disappointed. Imagine how God felt creating Adam and Eve and putting them in a paradise to live and watching them commit the sin of disobedience and rejecting him for the words spoken by a serpent. Wow. That had to have been disappointing. Imagine how God felt when he saw Cain kill his brother Abel over jealousy. Right? By the way, Cain was disappointed in God, wasn't he? When God told him to give a sacrifice like his brother Abel gave, he had a moment there that was life-changing. What should I do? And he chose to kill his brother. Instead of taking the loving words of God to him, you will do well, right? This is what you need to do. I'm telling you what you need to do. I'm not telling you you're a terrible person. I'm not rejecting you. I'm telling you what is necessary in your life. No, I'm going to kill my brother. Am I my brother's keeper? It started to go into that area, right? Disillusionment, all these things that the evil one is trying to attack us with. You know, I didn't mention it before and I forgot, but didn't we learn about putting on the armor of God last time? Do you see how disappointment is really one focus and one of the good reasons that we need to be putting on the armor of God each day? Because we are going to face disappointments in our lives. We need to be equipped and ready so that when that comes, we approach it in a godly way and we use the power of God, not our own, to apply to it. The evil one is shooting disappointment and saying, go to the next one. Go into the next one. Discouragement. Yeah, go there. Yeah. Can you believe what he said to you? Oh, he's a jerk. Don't believe anything he says. He hates you, you know, and he didn't want anything good for you. Oh, really? Oh, I didn't think of it that way, right? Satan, that's right. God, he put us in this garden, but he really wants to do something to us. He wants to keep that tree from us. He wants to keep that other thing from us. You hear the words of the evil one who is pointing us to the destruction, is pointing us to the death, pointing us to the defeat. And it just grows and it goes and it grows because we start listening to that instead of applying the word and the strength of the Lord to it. The list goes on and on with different examples. You can think about Moses. I'm not going to, it'll be a really long sermon if I do this, so I'm going to stop. Moses is another one. You think about, you know, how he's striking the rock. The kids are learning about that today, right? He strikes a rock because he's so angry at the people of God, and he's saying, what do I have to do? Right? And he takes everything into his own hands. He was disappointed with God, but he was also disappointed with the people, and then God was disappointed with him. So it just became this mess. But the biggest example, I think, of dual disappointment was found in the relationship with Jesus and Peter. Peter was so disappointed with the other disciples because Jesus didn't match his expectation of a Messiah. He was really disappointed. What are you doing? What are you doing? You know, I mean, you're supposed to be here to bring us into power. What are you talking about? You're going to die and go into the grave, and after 3 days, you're going to be raised from the dead. He only heard the part about, you know, dying. Come to your senses, Jesus. You're here. Then you're the Messiah. Come on. Peter expected him to take over the Romans and lead the Jewish nation to power and respect, and instead, Jesus went to the cross to die. I think that Peter was disappointed when he denied Christ. He was rejected. His idea was rejected. He stood up for Jesus with the power, with a sword, and he was going to fight for him. And Jesus said, put it away. It took him away. Peter goes off and he denies that he even knows him. I think there was disappointment in his heart. It was other things as well. It was fear of the people that were going to harm him if he said that he belonged to Jesus. But I think there was an element of disappointment in his heart. Peter says, I never met the man. You must have confused me with someone else. Maybe one of the reasons he denied Jesus was because he felt Jesus didn't live up to his expectations. Jesus didn't do what he wanted him to do. Jesus had to be disappointed when he saw the lack of understanding and faith in his disciples, right? Especially Peter and the others when he saw them asleep in the garden while he was praying before his arrest. Jesus had to have been disappointed in Peter when he denied him 3 times. It had to have been hard to watch the disciples fighting over who would be first in the kingdom of God. It had to have been hard for him and disappointing to see Judas betray him. The list goes on and on. Right? This disappointment theme comes up so often. But let's take a look at what Jesus did when he met Jesus when he returned from the dead. He restored him. He went to him and asked him, do you love me? Then work my work. Serve my people. Take care of my lambs. Right? He went to him and he restored him. Do you have a relationship in your life right now where restoration is needed? That is our work. That is our love for Jesus. That is our love for Jesus. And he repeated it 3 times for emphasis. To the point that it was embarrassing for Peter, looking at him and saying, you know that I love you. Okay, well then feed my sheep. But let's not delay that one, okay? If you have someone in your life where restoration is needed, forgiveness is needed, let's bring that before the Lord and act upon it. Let's take a case now, knowing what we know about Jesus and how he acts toward people who have disappointed him, and let's apply it. A person disappoints you. Not meeting your expectations. Our hearts sink. Your heart sinks. You don't know what to do. What do I do for this? We have a choice, right? Disappointment comes at the tip of that triangle. We are at this point. We continue on without paying attention to it, and we let it fester and let it become worse. That's one choice. We can hold it against the person and then see it go down this triangle down into each level of death, darkness. Right? Or We recognize that we are Christians and we have a Savior who forgives us. And we forgive that person and we cut them some slack. I always appreciate it when someone cuts me slack because I'm not perfect. And to be honest with you, I am hard enough on myself for anybody. You know, nobody could do it worse to me than I myself. Are you that way? A lot of us are. We punish ourselves enough. We don't need somebody else that is going to push in and make it worse. We need encouragement, man. Because each of us, more than people know, are carrying around things that we have done to disappoint other people. And it could really backfire on us. Right? That was another part of the Harvard Business Review. They were saying when a person is disappointed or is disappointed, it's oftentimes in themselves. And a lot of times the way that they act is misconceived. They're really actually upset with themselves, but it comes out as taking it out on somebody else. We're complicated people, very complicated. But we need to take, we need to handle each other with gentle care. We know that God shows us grace, and because of that, we show grace. We consider the person in view of what we learned last week, and we see that they may be under spiritual attack from Satan, and we battle against the true enemy, Satan, with God's way, which is the armor of God. And we combat it, remember, with thanksgiving to God. Thank you for this moment of learning that you have given to me in this disappointment. May I not disappoint you, Lord, in the way that I approach it. I give thanks, and I trust you, and I will not become what Satan wants me to become, which is an enemy to this person. Because no one needs an enemy, right? So we choose to love that person no matter what they do to us. Didn't Jesus do that? I still love you. We show that we're going to live to please God and rise above the situation. We believe that even in the worst situations, God can bring something good from it. Amen? God can bring something good from this disappointment. Didn't we just read that in the Harvard Business? If you don't want to listen to God, you can listen to the business report, right? There is these are smart people in Harvard, right? They're saying if you are in life, this is a moment where something good can happen. And it can make you stronger. That's what Jesus did. He brought something good from Peter's denial. He loved him and he asked Peter if he loved him and restored him to the work that he promised he would do. In the church, we are often going to be disappointed. If you think that you can go to a church looking for a church that will not disappoint you in some way, I hate to say it as a Christian, but good luck. Right? Because people are going to disappoint one another. But God does not disappoint. And he takes this disappointment in the things that we go through and he uses it for his glory. So we have to look at it that way. We will be disappointed. Okay? Be joyful. It goes completely against what we learn in the world. You're disappointed, pay them back. That's what you hear out there. You know? That's what all these wars are going on about. Right? And God is looking down and he's thinking, what are you doing? I gave you lives to care for one another, to look after one another, to love one another in brotherly and sisterly love. And all you do is make wars because you want power and you want oil and you want wealth. All these different things. You've completely lost the point of your life. And I'm going to show you how to do it. It's through love. It's through loving one another. We're going to be disappointed in churches. We have expectations of people and they let us down either in something they do or they say. and we're confused by it, and we react. Being disappointed is nothing. There's nothing wrong in that too. We see, right? We're confused by what a person may say or how they may do it. And maybe that person is wrong, right? But we don't judge them, and we don't jump to a conclusion so that we continue down the downward slope into these other things that are going to make it worse. That's what people do so often, and it just doesn't end up well. Right, so we have to nip it at the bud right there at the top. It's important, brothers and sisters, that we all know that we are all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. But even more, we are called to love our brothers and sisters. It's fine. You know, I could say, I'm disappointed in that person, but they're a sinner. And all of us sin. But that's not enough. It means that we have to love them. The love that truly matters to God is one that overcomes disappointment, that would lead another person to sin or one of the levels of the disturbing progression like in the diagram. We learn to love with such a love that sees the other person with compassion and love that overcomes the disappointment we have in our expectations not being met. Right? That's why God is so great. He teaches us these things. He teaches us how to deal with life. He teaches us how to bring something good, right? Even from things that confuse us. You could be the smartest person in the world. You can go to Harvard. You could go to anywhere. You know, it doesn't matter. You could be, you know, some wise guru. I don't know. You could have all the wisdom in the world, but what does it matter? God doesn't he say that? But if you have not love, you're nothing. You don't know anything. So it's important to know love. And that's what we find in God. So when we go back to the boy in the story, he thought he heard that he'd be visiting the Grand Canyon. I always crack up when I say that, right? The Grand Canyon. So when he saw the Grand Canyon, the beauty of it was lost because he was expecting something else. And when we apply this to our disappointment with God or somebody else, well, let's talk about God. When we apply this to our disappointment with God, he sometimes doesn't meet our expectations. And in the darkness of our disappointment, we fail to see his greatness, beauty, and love. It's right in front of us. Jesus was standing right there talking to these two dudes. And they were saying, oh, we had hoped he was going to be the Savior. It's almost funny. Right? Because he's standing right there and he's talking to them, but he loves them so much and he's teaching them in that moment. And finally, it dawns on them that this is Jesus the Christ, and they're filled with hope. And they're like, he is risen and he is everything that he said he was going to be. We had hope. There's no more. We now hope because we see it's real. God is real. When we get trapped into this web, like the was written in the journal too, when we get caught in the web of disappointment, we are really in big trouble. So we need to move out of that into the grace and the love of God. So the men were walking to Emmaus were so deeply resigned to their disappointment that Jesus had not met their expectations. They lost sight of the fact that it was the third day after his burial. It was still the third day after his burial. And they were already experiencing the depression and all these different things, forgetting and not being conscious of the moment that Jesus said, on the third day, I will be raised from the dead. So they let the disappointment take control. They believed actually more in disappointment than in Jesus. He revealed himself to them later in the story, and they were filled with hope and rejoiced in the reality of his resurrection, and his being alive brought their disappointment to an end. And that's what Jesus does. He brings disappointment to an end. Unless you like disappointment, do you like it? You can have it. You can have whatever you want. We were reading that this week in the Bible. God was saying, you want idols? Choose them. You want to choose something that is made with wood that is going to be burned up and be no more? It be my guest. But what I have to offer you, you are going to see one day, one way or another. You're either going to be for me or against me. And you will see on that day, because I am a God who is all powerful. And there is going to come a time for you to face me. but you can have it your own way. So shall we today as Grace Church say, we are not going to let disappointment defeat us? Because Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. So we are taught by God in our lives not to be resigned to disappointment. If you are resigned to disappointment, God is speaking to us today to say that is not the victory of Christ. We have a list of things that come from disappointment: discouragement, disillusionment, depression, defeat. I could go on: separation, hatred, grudge holding, hatred. Do you want that? When we believe in Jesus Christ, we're no longer resigned to life being all of these. When we believe in Jesus Christ, we are raised up with him to life, all about being the opposite of disappointment. Let me read you what the opposite words are: satisfied, delighted, fulfilled, pleased, joyful, and blessed. Which do we want? Right? I have another diagram that I want to show to you just to finish today's sermon, to show what happens when we turn our disappointment over to God. You see that one? You see where disappointed is? It's down at the bottom and it starts to move up. You're disappointed by somebody or a circumstance. You turn to God and you become encouraged, not discouraged. Right? Instead of being disillusioned, you become hopeful. Right? Instead of being depressed, you're filled with joy. Instead of defeat, you are victorious. This is the one we want, guys. This is the one we want. So when we meet disappointment and we're disappointed in a situation, let's be aware of it and approach it in a godly way. To know that God is going to take that moment, that all-important moment that is right there for us, and he's going to turn it into victory. And that's going to be a great life. That's going to be a great life for you, and it's going to be a great life for the person or the circumstance you're in, because you're putting it into the hands of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And he loves you. And he loves me, despite all of my failings, despite all of my shortcomings. And I'm going to make mistakes, yes. And there's going to be things that really are not the way that I want them to go. But he is for me. He's for me. And he's always been that way. I can tell you that since I was a little kid, I knew there was a God, because I knew there was a love that existed and he was for me. And I hated myself. But he never gave up. And he still never gives up when I hate myself. And I think I've blown it again, because he's never disappointed in me. He loves me and he wants me to have a life with him forever.